did the chicken cross the road? To get to Amelia's weekly fish fry, of course. Hi there. Welcome to another episode of EE Journal's Electronic Engineering Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. What that chicken needed was an invisible hazardous environmental factors monitoring system, right? Because we all know winter is coming. Let me bring in Diane Kibbe from Element 14, and she's talking about just this. Sans that whole chicken part. Element 14 just announced the winners of their Safe and Sound Design Contest, and Diane is here to give us the skinny on this design challenge, from the rules to the winners and everything in between. Let's go. Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's great to be on the show.
Excellent. I'm glad. So it's been a while since you've been on Fish Fry. What's going on with Element 14 these days? What's your community look like now?
All right. So I know when I was on before, I talked a little bit, but I guess since the last time, I mean, we're still a global community that's really still going strong, full of electronic engineers and makers. We just hit the 500,000 registered user mark and continue to see about 5,000 new members coming in monthly. And I think the reason being is it's really a place for our members, whether they're engineers or makers, to learn about new products, connect with other members, ask questions, get advice, and collaborate. We've really grown the area around educational programs, helping engineers learn about new products coming to market. We've also got a lot of basic engineering courses that we put out there for newer engineers. The thing that we're probably best known for is still the road test. So giving our members access to free products for trying it out and writing a community review. And then again, there's our design challenges, which is our thing that we're most known for. And that's, I think, what we're here to talk about, right?
It is indeed. Perfect segue. Okay, so you guys just announced the winners of the Safe and Sound Design Challenge. So first, tell my audience a little bit about this design challenge and what were the design goals you guys had in mind?
So with Safe and Sound, we really wanted our members to build a wearable device kind of centered around personal safety and protection. And most of our challenges, we try not to narrow it down too much because we really want to see the innovation. But this device could be something that protected you, like, for example, walking to a car at night, or environmental hazards. Could be protection for your personal property. But this invention could be something that you would use at work or even in your personal life or even in an industrial setting. Basically, the end result is something that keeps you safe and sound.
Okay, so let's talk about the winners of this design challenge. Now, first, give me some details on the first place winner.
Sure. First, I should just say that contestants were given, they're always given a market basket of parts. In this case, they were given a series of TI Launchpad dev kits and booster packs for Wi-Fi, power management, and sensors. So the sensors are really what let them kind of come up with these different ideas in the environment, and they were given a period of 4 months to create their designs. I will say the Canadians kind of stole the show because both the winner and the runner-up were from Canada. And the winner actually designed what he calls his invisible hazardous environmental monitoring system. So Douglas Wong from Canada actually came up with a really solid prototype, and it's a wearable device that you basically wear on your arm, and it scans the surrounding environment for dangerous levels of radiation, carbon monoxide, other toxic gases, and it also has even an alcohol monitor, which I guess in a way is protecting you from yourself. But the modules that he did really had really clean interfaces and cases and looked very professional. So it was something that we thought could actually be taken, with a few extra steps, taken into the market.
Cool. So what about the runner-up?
Yeah, the runner-up was Dave Winhold, also from Canada. And I think being a strong Canadian, he developed a cold weather survival kit. So it's basically like a cold weather suit that would sense the temperature and the outside temperature, his body temperature, and warm up the wearer. He spent a lot of time making it completely water resistant, which was really cool. And you can kind of see it online. Dale, living in Canada, said it was something that he always saw the need for that hadn't existed before. So he was our runner-up. And I will just mention that the winner received a Phantom 4 quadcopter, and the runner-up had a Phantom 3 quadcopter. So they're enjoying their prizes from this challenge.
Excellent. That is super cool. All right. So do you guys have any other design challenges up for grabs right now?
We do. We actually just launched our IoT on Wheels challenge, and we just selected or in the process of selecting our final contestants. So the IoT on Wheels challenge is really around creating a device that makes a vehicle safer, smarter, or more efficient. And here we're referring to a vehicle as anything with wheels. So it could have one wheel, two wheels, four wheels. And I think oftentimes when we talk about IoT, we always think of wearables, but IoT is playing a major role in transportation and just making it safer and more efficient. So we wanted our contestants to come up with something that would deal with transportation. So we're actually in the process of choosing our 10 final applicants, or 10 final contestants, I should say, and they'll start blogging probably in a couple of weeks once they get their equipment, and they'll have until November 13th to finish their designs. They're using the ST Micro Nucleo board that also has like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and sensor expansion. So it's going to be really cool to see what they come up with.
Absolutely. Okay, Diane, it's time for your off-the-cuff question, which is along these same lines. Tell me about your incentive to encourage STEM education in a middle school in your area.
Oh, sure. Getting girls into technology has always been a big passion of mine because I've always been in the tech field and kind of look around and, you know that we need a little more diversity in this world. And the fact that I've always loved the tech field has always made me want to inspire young girls, especially my daughters, to get into tech. So I'm working with a group out of Philadelphia called Tech Girls, starting this at Disney Magnet 2 in Chicago and possibly other schools. Right now we're coming up with a bunch of workshops using the new BBC Microbit, and we're going to be setting that up with a big program in October with some of the Microsoft offices. So it's really cool, and it's taking a lot of time right now, but I'm really enjoying it.
That is really cool, Diane, and very inspiring as well. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Diane.
You're welcome. It was great to be on.
Now that we've got our safety covered, what about the safety of our robots, or at least our robotic parts? This week's news you may have missed heads straight to the heart of Texas and the robotic skin revolution. So a team of researchers at the University of Houston have created a new type of skin that apparently allows robotic limbs to feel hot and cold. So, how exactly are they going about doing this? Well, we all know that semiconductors aren't exactly stretchable, right? But according to this team at the University of Houston, they have managed to create the first semiconductor in a rubber composite format that allows stretchability without any special mechanical structure. So, this artificial skin is actually made from a combination of a silicon-based polymer called polydimethyl siloxane, or PDMS, much easier to say, and a hardened material which is composed of nanowires that are, as you probably already guessed, capable of transporting electrical current. So, get this. In a demonstration of this new technology, this team got their robotic hand, which is covered in this artificial skin, to sense hot and iced water temperatures. With yet another test, they had the hand receive computer signals, which then it translated into American Sign Language. What? This is awesome. So it seems that this artificial skin is really just at the beginning of this technology. It could potentially give those with prosthetic limbs the ability to feel again, as well as lead to more advanced medical equipment. So, if you want to geek out on even more super cool information about this robotic skin research, I've included a link below the player which will take you to a research article about this topic called Rubbery Electronics and Sensors from Intrinsically Stretchable Elastomeric Composites of Semiconductors and Conductors. Okay, personal safety, check. Robotic limb safety, check. What about the safety of our designs, especially from lightning and other ESD issues? Proper circuit protection is critical in nearly every design today. But, and I probably don't need to tell you this, it can be pretty challenging to choose the right solution from all of the options on the market today. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Bourne's RS-485 Port Protection, I sit down with Wayne Dossey from Bourne's and talk about port protection, industrial communications, harsh electrical environments, and RS-485. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of eejournal.com, by clicking the link below the player on this week's fish frying page on eejournal.com, or by simply heading on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal. Hey, have you checked out eejournal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/eejournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at eejournaltfm. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, shoot, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. And don't forget, rate us in that iTunes app store. I'd really appreciate it. For the week of September 22nd, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.